Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hands. The strength of the hills is his own.
Through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength. Our first reading comes from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 1 to 22. A reading from Proverbs, the 25th chapter. These also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, compiled. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your brother himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. With patience a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club, or a sword, or a sharp arrow. Trusting in a treacherous man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth, or a foot that slips. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. St. John chapter 19, verses 23 to 42. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. We sing the common responsory together.
All is covered, all is made up for in this moment by your Lord Christ. For you, Jesus does it right. As he has taken care of and provided for his mother since the day she became a widow at the death of her husband Joseph, so now at his dying, his own dying, he gives her into the hands of one who will continue that care. He gives his mother into the hands of the disciple whom he loves, that she might have a son's provision all the days that remain for her in this vale of tears. Like the good Samaritan that he is, Jesus places his wounded mother, through whose heart has gone the sword once promised by Simeon, into the hands of this beloved innkeeper, that he may care for her until the day that Jesus returns, when John will be rewarded and repaid for this favor by the one who can never be outgiven, outserved, outloved in any way. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. But there is more. There's always more. Mary, if you will, is also our mother. Mary, if you will, is not only Revelation's woman pregnant and crying out with the pains and the agony of childbirth, giving birth to the male child who will rule the nations with a rod of iron, but she's also a sign, and more than a sign to us, of her son's blessed and holy church. Mary is the quintessential Christian, is she not? She's the first human mouth to voice the church's Magnificat. Is she not the humble sinner who was exalted to the highest by her son, our Lord? If you will, Mary stands for our Holy Mother, the church, your church, my church, the whole church, every particular church. And so then the dying Christ speaks to you also and says, behold your mother. And by his unfathomable mercy alone, mercy beyond our imaginings, this Lord Christ speaks to his church of you and says, woman, behold your son, the Lord of the cross and the Lord who is risen, bestows her keeping into the hands of his beloved disciple still. He commits her into your care. How can we measure up to that kind of trust, to that kind of monumental task? St. John the Divine, St. John of the Cross, was not given this duty because of his skill or his wealth or his intellect or his giftedness, probably not even because of his piety. He was simply given the place of care for the mother and called by the dying and yet very soon risen Christ to be faithful. John would be the instrument of God's providing grace, and so would you. Out of the sons of our blessed and holy mother, the church, Christ has spoken to you, called you, and set you apart into this holy office to take care of your mother. Remember that order. First you are a son, and then you are called to take care of your mother. For when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of this woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might have that adoption as sons. You were first rebirthed as a son, adopted into the redeemed and holy family of the Father through Jesus Christ, and then you were set apart to take care of your mother. Remember that. Remember that so that you will take care of your mother as the one through whom you were given the new life. Be kind to her. Respect her. speak well of her, treat her always with the holy dignity that she deserves as the very bride of Christ. If you love the bridegroom, you will also love his wife. Know her as the one and the only one through whom the Lord will continue to rebirth all those who will come to him. Now you, like me, have been a lousy son to this mother of ours. You, like me, have acted like a reprobate, overgrown child who just wants to sponge off of her, but not serve your sisters and your brothers in this holy household. You, like me, have despaired of your holy mother's well-being, because with a scornful wonder men see her sorrow pressed by schism rent asunder and by heresies distressed. You may have considered her an old hag rather than the Lord's beautiful bride. So repent, and repent, and repent again. And the dying Lord, who is risen, has plenteous mercy on you, and he's still saying to you, behold your mother. And amazingly, he's still speaking to his church of you and saying, woman, behold your son. Take care of your mother. In her you yourself were rebirthed, given the life that has no end. In her you were consecrated in baptismal water into the priesthood that lasts forever, into the sonship that has no ending, into the praise of him who cleansed you with his precious blood, the praise that will never stop sounding in the new heaven and the new earth. You won't be taking care of your mother forever. The real son, heaven's bridegroom, will return. And though you and I are both unworthy, and though we have only done our duty, if we've done anything at all, and though it's really only all his work and all his wondrous doing through us and all his mercy and all his gifts, still by his grace, at the last he will say to you, thanks for taking care of my mom. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please rise, we sing the Te Deum, we continue.
Loud, the heavens and all the powers therein.
humble yourself to be born of a virgin. When you have overcome the sharpness of death, you open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the
of the Holy Spirit.